This morning I was thinking about the words to that song that we've sung before. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonder and grace, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And that is what I speak over us all today, over the next hours and days, that we would keep our eyes upon Jesus. I'm reading this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 23 through 30. As we prepare to go to the table of the Lord this morning, this is number 3 of this communion series called Cross-Examination. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 23, Paul says, all things are lawful, but not all things... I'm sorry, I apologize. How about chapter 11? Chapter 11. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, this is My body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. In the same way, He took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be answerable for the body and blood of the Lord. Examine yourselves, and only then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For all who eat and drink without discerning the body eat and drink judgment against themselves. For this reason, many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. You know, we live in a time in which there are very few absolutes. Cultures change, fads come and go, opinions vary from day to day. What was taboo just 10 years ago today is accepted and applauded. We find ourselves in a perpetual search for truth. What is truth? A standard of truth is necessary if we're going to examine ourselves, as Paul admonished us. So what is your standard of measurement? When you examine yourselves and you look at your life, what's the standard of measurement that you use? Who do you compare yourself to, or what do you compare yourself to? Do you compare yourself to our culture? Do you compare yourselves to your friends or your neighbors? Do you compare yourself to Hollywood or other forms of media? As far as I know, there is only one book that declares itself to be the standard of measurement for every man and woman, every young person, and that is the Word of God. In fact, the Bible is bold enough to say in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 17, Thy word is truth. There's a vast array of titles that the Bible gives itself, but this morning, very quickly, I want us to look at three titles that the Word of God gives itself in regards to the standard of measurement, how we can measure our lives, how when we go through a period of self-examination, here is something that we can look at and compare ourselves to. And the first one is this: the Bible says that it is a mirror. In James chapter 1, verse 23 and 24, James writes, and he says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror, and once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in all he does. Do you ever use a mirror at your home? Do you ever pause to look at it and to say, oh my gosh, what happened to me? Do you ever eat salad and then check in the mirror to make sure there's not a piece of broccoli stuck right between your teeth? Do you ever look in the mirror and make sure that everything is zipped and everything is buttoned and everything is the right way it's supposed to be? I get dressed and, you know, I'm pretty good at picking out my clothes, but I get dressed and I'll go in and look at the mirror and make sure that everything matches. And Sherry will tell you, invariably, I always ask her, do I look okay? Because the mirror will lie to you. Sometimes the mirror will tell you what you want the mirror to say to you. And so I always check with her, does a brown belt look good with blue slacks? You know, is that okay to wear? And so I use not only the mirror, but I use Sherry as well. The Word of God says it is a mirror that you and I can look at when we're self-examining our lives, when we're looking at our lives and we're looking for something. What is the measurement that I can look at my life? The Bible says, look at it. That we're to examine our lives, our motives, our thought life, everything that is part of our lives. We're to examine it in light of the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? What is it reflecting back to me right now? The Bible also tells us that not only is it a mirror, but the Bible tells us that it is a hidden guide. David said this in the 119th Psalm, the 11th verse, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Self-examination involves asking ourselves tough questions, tough, honest questions. Sherry and I, we were on vacation this past week, and we flew into Denver, and we got a car, rented a car, and we were driving to Estes Park in the Rocky Mountain National Park. I'm looking at the mountains and looking at all the beauty around us, and I keep pointing out stuff to Sherry. Oh, look at that, look at that, look at that, because Sherry had never seen the Rockies, and I wanted to make sure that she saw the Rocky Mountains, because there are no Rocky Mountains in Maryland. There are mountains there to the west part, but nothing like the Rockies. So I want to make sure she saw everything. Well, we're riding along, and I'm, you know, Sherry, oh, look at that. Look, there's snow up there. And Sherry pulls out 50 questions to ask husbands and wives. And she said, a friend of mine gave me these so that we could ask each other questions. And I said, honey, can we do this another time? Do we have to start off this is our wedding anniversary and our first vacation in 4 years. Do we have to start it off with asking ourselves 50 questions? Like, number one, what would you change about me? And I'm thinking, oh my Lord, here we go. No, sir, we had originally asked for a room with a king size bed. Do you have anything with two doubles? But the Bible tells us that when we're self-examining our lives, when we're asking ourselves the tough questions, the hard questions, a question that I really want an honest answer to, the Bible says, look to the Bible. If you're wondering, should I do this or not? Is this something that is okay? Regardless of what our culture says, what does the Bible say about this? That's what we should be looking to. Not what does Brad Pitt say about it. Not what does, Sandra Bullock say about it. Not what does Fox News or CNBC or NBC, or what do they say about it? What does God's Word say? I don't trust People Magazine no more than I trust the National Enquirer. What does God's Word say about this? And so when I'm facing life choices, one of the first questions I should ask myself is, what does God's Word say about this choice that I'm getting ready to make? Whether it's a financial choice, whether it is a marital choice, a moral choice, a job choice, regardless of what it is, what does God's Word say about this? And then the Bible also declares itself to be a cleansing agent. The 119th Psalm, the 9th verse, David asked a question. And the question he asked is this: how can a young man cleanse his ways? Well, that's a tough question. How can I cleanse my ways? You know, I think in prayer, and we're going to look at this, God willing, next month. In the process of self-examination, look in our lives, prayer is so important. And when we see those areas in our lives that we think, you know, this is an area in my life that I'd really like to see change. Not a New Year's resolution, not turning over a new leaf, but this is an area in my life that has dogged me for years, or has become a habit that I don't even know how it became a habit, but it's become a habit in my life. Lord, what do I do? How do I deal with this? Where do I turn? And the Bible tells us, and David asking that question, he said, how can a young man, and it wouldn't just be a young man, it could be a young woman, it could be an elderly man, an elderly woman. It applies to all age groups. How can I cleanse my ways? How can I get rid of this road rage? What do I do about my anger? What do I do about this area that it just seems like I can't quite get over the area of forgiveness of that person? What do I do about this condemnation that I feel in my life? How do I deal with that? And that was the question David was asking. What do I do about the things in my life that I really don't want to talk to anybody about, but I know they're there? How do I deal with those? And David turned around in the 119th Psalm, 9th verse, after asking the question, how can I cleanse my ways? He turned around and he answered that question, and he answered it by saying this, by taking heed to your word. The word of God says that by reading it and ingesting it, it can actually cleanse our heart. Do you remember the question your mom always asked you before you ate? My mom always asked me the question, did you wash your hands? And I can hear she had kind of a little shrill voice, you know, and she'd say, Rod, did you wash your hands? That's what the Bible does. It washes our hands. It washes our mind. It washes our mouth. It washes our eyes. It washes our thought life. It washes our heart. It washes our vocabulary. It washes our road rage. It washes our anger. It washes our condemnation. It washes the guilt. It washes all of those things. There's no other book. There's no other person. There's no religion. There's no culture. There's no television program. There's no self-help book that you would pick up on Kindle that says to us, I can wash your ways, but the Bible says it can. The Bible says that it can point out areas in your life in which God wants to move, in which God wants to change things, and that's the power of the Word of God. So Paul's admonition in 1 Corinthians 11, where he says, let a man examine himself. It's not to condemn us. It's not so we can beat ourselves up. It's not so we can leave church every Sunday feeling bad about ourselves and feeling I'm no good, I'm unworthy. It's to convey to us the sacredness when we come to the altar and take the elements of communion. It's to convey to us that before we come, we should wash our hands. Is to convey to us that before we come, we should look in the mirror. Is to convey to us that before we come to the table, we should go to that hidden guide and say, Lord, let me hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Be my guide. Guide my steps. Put the blinders on my eyes when they're needed, Lord. Lord, let your word get in me and guide me and lead me and direct me. Partaking of these elements should remind us of the power that is available to us through the Bible, the Word of God. And it also should remind us that before we come to this table, we should ask ourselves the tough questions. That we should realize when we take these elements in our hand, this broken bread, this cup, that these symbolize, these represent the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And it is not something we do lightly or flippantly or just because it's the first Sunday of the month or the second Sunday of the month, but it's a time of self-reflection. It's a time before we come to this altar and kneel that we say, Lord, help me to ask myself the honest and tough questions and to look to your word to give me the honest answer. Father, today I thank you for the power of the word. Lord, your word is a lamp to our feet. It is a light to our pathway. And I pray today, Father, that as we come to this table and we come to take of these elements, that we would prepare ourselves, that we would examine ourselves, that we would ask ourselves the tough, honest, brutal questions, that we would look in the mirror, that we would look for that hidden guide in our life, and that we would, Lord, cleanse our ways before you through your word. And so now we're going to take just a moment of just silent meditation. And I would encourage you as we do so, not to condemn yourself or beat yourself up, but look at your life. Examine yourselves, as Paul said, and make yourself open to the cleansing, healing, restoring power of God's word today.